An accident in the town of Lake Mills between an SUV and a farm combine left three people dead earlier this month. And this summer, in the village of Fredonia, two accidents involving tractors left some residents calling for changes to improve safety on the local highway.
Those incidents serve as a reminder that, here in Wisconsin, sharing the road with farm equipment is a fact of life, especially during harvest season. And despite slow-moving vehicle signs and flashing lights, there's still a lot for motorists to keep in mind in order to share the road safely with farmers. You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Are you a farmer who has to go out on the road with the equipment? Have you had near misses? What do you want motorists to know about driving where you're working? And vice versa, if you drive a lot in agricultural areas, what do you try to do to stay safe? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
Cheryl Skolas is with us. She is an agricultural safety and health specialist for the UW Center for Agricultural Safety and Health. And you can find her article for WisConText about avoiding collisions with farm equipment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So on one hand, given that farm equipment is large and it's slow, I think it only tops out at about 25 miles per hour, most of them, you might think that collisions would be easy to avoid. But why isn't that necessarily the case?
One of the big factors is the speed difference between that slower moving agricultural equipment and our standard motor vehicles. So if a car is moving 55 miles an hour down that highway and it comes upon that slow moving vehicle, it's a matter of seconds that to apply the brakes to stop for it. And if it's during the hours of darkness or these low gray days like we have today, you know, seeing that because of the visibility factor comes into play too.
Yeah, and on many of these roads, they're not lit or they're not lit consistently. So do we have an idea of how common accidents between farm vehicles and, you know, traditional cars and trucks are in the state?
So really, it's a very small percentage. When you look back at some of the Department of Transportation statistics, it's even hard to pull out the number of incidents because it's about less than 2% of the motor vehicle crashes involve that farm machinery and equipment. And a majority of those occur on our county or our town highways. So, you know, it's not a big percent, but when they happen, you know, it's usually a very significant crash that has resulted in some major injuries or loss of life.
And talking about those crashes, we mentioned crashes that happened both in Lake Mills and Fredonia. They happened on these county highways that we just talked about. Are there any type of road that tends to be the most high risk for these accidents?
You know, we're seeing them across all levels of roadway, probably except the interstate defense highway, because they're just not out there that often. But the state highways, especially in some of the divided highways or some of those areas like 151, where there's multiple speed ranges from 55 to 70 miles an hour, that closure time becomes an even more significant factor on those state highways. And then those rural county town roads, they fall in there to more of them, but at the same time, some different factors to the crashes.
Sure,
and that the state highways are where we're seeing some of those speed factors, the car rear-ending the equipment, they just didn't even came upon it and couldn't stop fast enough. And then on the rural roads, it's that factor of the equipment getting in position to take what we call the left-hand turn. So needing to change from their standard road position to be able to turn into a farm or a field, or even to be able to move over on the road to avoid a roadside hazard such as a mailbox, a signpost. So different factors.
Sure. And these are large pieces of equipment. They aren't as easy necessarily to maneuver as, say, a Honda Civic or something, which can dart around these things. You know, for people on the roadways, how can they maybe start thinking and incorporating what we're talking about into, I guess, more defensive driving?
So when you're going out onto those roads where you know that you're going to be, you know, going through an area where there's farmlands and fields, you know, be thinking about looking for that. If it's a typical daily route, You know, you're going to know and see the signs. It's harvest as the combines come out, as the gravity wagons start being pulled, and just, you know, taking the time to be mindful. And the one thing we want to be sure, too, is, you know, Wisconsin is a little bit different because of our dairy state. We do a lot of forage harvesting. So we get the crops planted in the spring. We still have a lot of hay that gets put up during the summertime, and then in the fall, it's bringing those grains in. So it's not like some of the states where we plant it and we harvest it. We have a long window of our cropping season and many different types and pieces of equipment. So it's not the standard 8'6", you know, semi-truck trailer out there. And you have to be, you know, looking out for those different vehicles.
We're talking to Cheryl Skolas. She is an agricultural safety and health specialist for the UW Center for Agricultural Safety and Health. She recently wrote an article about the collisions that can happen between farm equipment and traditional cars for WisConText. And we have been going through this, you know, how for those it can be, I'm going to put it out there blankly, for people in cars, it can be a little bit annoying sometimes to be stuck behind a slow-moving farm equipment. Maybe it's a tractor, maybe it's a combine. What advice do you have for people who might get, I'm going to say it nicely, irritated behind one of these pieces of equipment?
You know, if you think about it, may be adding two stoplights worth of time to your travel. And, you know, the risk that you're putting not only that farm operator in, but yourself and whoever your occupants are in your vehicle. You know, it's hard to pass. It's even in the passing zones, it's hard to get around that equipment and be watching for it not to be, you know, coming over further because they're moving to get around something. So if you can add a few seconds, you know, to your travel time, they're not going to be going great distances. And so just, you know, find that sense of patience. Think about that great meal you've had and, you know, the food, the fiber, the fuel that it and the significance of that agriculture to the economy, and enjoy the rural area.
We're going to go to our callers right now. We have Ronald in Abrams. Hi, Ronald.
Hey. I wanted to comment. It's funny that I just got home and saw a farm tractor on the road, on the highway, pulling a load of round bales on a trailer behind them. No lights whatsoever on the tractor or the trailer or anything.
So Ronald is pointing out, and thank you for that call, Ronald, that from his perspective, he didn't see this equipment with any sort of warning at all that it was there, that it was slow moving. Is that legal?
Well, it gets into the different requirements on lighting and marking, the age of the equipment, and what would be required. If it's moving under that 25 miles an hour, there should have at least been a slow moving vehicle emblem on that rear of that trailer or somewhere on that towing vehicle to indicate it. The hours of darkness come into play, and a lot of times people don't understand what is meant by the hours of darkness or low light visibility days. So today, yeah, we would want those lights on that vehicle. But in general, if it's typically a daylight situation based on the age of equipment, they may not be needing those lights.
So throughout our conversation, a lot of the onus has been on, you know, people who are driving cars. But for people who drive a tractor on the road, you know, what kind of visibility do they have? What should they be looking out for?
So when you're operating those vehicles, there's less visibility around you. So it's really hard for a lot of, you know, from that operator's platform, depending on what, if they're towing something, to be able to see or hear that there's another vehicle in the area. So keeping your distance back, so that they can have a better chance of seeing you. More equipment has extended mirrors on it these days, but it's hard to see around. Even on some of the smaller size equipment, it's hard to get that visibility behind you.
We're going to take a call now from Beth from Markazan. Hi, Beth.
Hi there.
What would you like to say?
Well, I was just now behind a tractor coming down Highway 44, and, yeah, I can't see his flashing lights. I can't see because the wagon takes up left all the road behind the tractor. I obviously know there's a tractor. I encounter them all the time. My main concern is the safety of being able to, him to be able to see me and me to even be able to see his flashing light. The other concern I have is the equipment gets very, very dirty, and those slow-moving vehicle signs that are on the back end aren't always real visible because, of course, they're dealing with a lot of grain and a lot of dirt. But I guess I'm concerned that farmers aren't being conscientious to wipe them clean so that we are able to still see them very well, you know.
All right, Beth, thank you so much for that call. So another concern about visibility, it feels as though the big concern across the board is tractors can't see drivers, and drivers sometimes can't see these tractors.
And, you know, to the farm community for years, we've been saying, light your equipment up like a Christmas tree when you go out there on the road. You know, add on some added retroreflective marking, add on some magnetic. You know, you want to do your best job of making that equipment visible to those other drivers so that they can see you too. Taking some time, wiping off those SMVs, wiping off your headlights, your turn signal lights, you know, throughout the harvest season. You need to be visible because you're part of sharing the road.
In the last minute that we have, has there been any reticence from maybe farmers from maybe doing that? From adding reflective things,
you know,
to their equipment?
A lot of, you know, my neighbors, I live in a farm area, and, you know, they really recognize that importance living in this Dane County urban area of having that additional lighting and marking. And so it's a cheap investment in your safety out there.
Well, we will leave it there, Cheryl. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Cheryl Skolas is an agricultural safety and health specialist for the UW Center for Agricultural Safety and Health. She recently wrote an article for WisConText about how to avoid collisions with farm equipment on the roadways. You can read that on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
There's more coming up here on Central Time on the Ideas Network.